The boldest and most strong-minded woman may, if kept in captivity for a long period, lose heart and become depressed. Sita hoped, month after month, that her Lord would discover her whereabouts and come to her rescue. Sick with disappointed hope, alone in the midst of enemies, she clung to life only from an abiding faith in the love of Ram, which made her feel that he would surely come. The Rakshasis plied her with what, from their point of view, was well-meant counsel.
Won't you listen to our advice? You are a human, and so you lack sense. You still hold on to this wretched man-husband of yours. Your proper place is our king's bedchamber. That is the place for every kind of pleasure. But spurning his offer, you are forever thinking of your worthless husband. Why are you still fond of this luckless wretch who is driven out of his kingdom? You will never see him again. Yield to Ravan, yes, Ravan, Ravan, and be happy.
Sita, hearing these words, could only shed tears and said, "What sinful words you utter! Never can I do what you say. You tell me that Ram is poor and wretched and an exile from his home. All this I know, but no moral wife would think of giving up her husband on such grounds. It is wicked for the Rakshasa king to desire me for his wife, as the sun's brightness belongs inseparably to the sun, so do I belong to Ram." The Rakshasis gave up all hopes of persuading her and said to one another,
"What can one do with a stubborn fool like this? It is best to eat her before she gets too thin with brooding. I have a great longing for human flesh. I shall tear her apart and make a meal of her soft body. We shall strangle her and report to Ravan that she died of grief. The king is lost in unavailing sorrow because of this obstinate woman. Once he knows that she is dead, he will forget all about her and sleep soundly. I long to eat her liver. It must be very, very tasty."
And another Rakshasi added decisively,
"Let us kill her and share her limbs. Fetch some sauce and strong liquor. Let us feast on her and drink and dance in the temple of Kali."
Hearing these horrible words and seeing these terrible forms, Sita broke down and cried aloud. Her physical courage failed and nature had its way. She sobbed like a child, but even in her sobs, her mind was clear and it was fixed on Ram. She reflected, "In Janastan, Ram destroyed thousands of Rakshasas. Why does not Ram come yet to redeem me? The warrior princes who killed Varad in Dundak, why are they still indifferent to my fate? It could only be that they do not know where I am. Jatayu, the vulture king, was slain by the Rakshasa. If he at least were alive, he would have told them the news that he saw the Rakshasa carrying me, but he gave up his life in trying to save me. But for how long
will Ram remain ignorant of my being here? How long can Lanka and the Rakshasas survive? It is certain that in every house in this city, Rakshasa widows will soon be lamenting loudly. It is certain that this city of Ravan and the whole Rakshasa race, yes, it will perish.
Then she thought within herself and slowly recovered courage. But soon again, other thoughts came to her and filled her with gloom.
Could it be that Ram gave up his life, unable to bear my loss? It might well be so. Otherwise, could he neglect me and leave me all alone for so many days? Indeed, he is probably happy now. And with the gods, oh, I must have been guilty of many sins to be thus left to suffer. My heart must be made of stone. How else can I suffer all this and yet survive? Yet, something tells me that Ram, yes, Ram is alive. Else I should be dead.
Then again, another thought occurred to her.
Perhaps he has resolved to spend his life in penance and has laid aside all thought of me. Perhaps... No. How could a warrior forsake his duty and, leaving his wife in the hands of his foe, take up the life of sannyas? How foolish of me to even think of this. The fact is that they do not know where I am. Could it be that Ram has lost his love for me? Out of sight, out of mind, they say. Could it be that he has forgotten me? Oh, no. What a sinful thought. How can my Ram forget me? He never can. And what wrong have I committed that he should cease to think of me? No, this cannot be the reason. Perhaps Ravan has played some trick and treacherously slain the prince. Yes, perhaps...
Thus her mind wandered from one sad thought to another and sank ever deeper in the sea of sorrow. She decided that it would be best to hang herself. She could do this with her long braid of hair round her neck and jump down from a branch of the Simsupa tree. Having failed in their attempt to persuade Sita, the Rakshasis did not know what to do next. Some went to inform Ravan of their failure. Some stayed behind to look after Sita. Appearing among them, Trijata, a Rakshasi, reprimanded them, saying,
"Oh, foolish ones, you are talking nonsense. Listen to me. I shall tell you of a dream that I dreamt. The time has come when Lanka shall be destroyed."
Then she proceeded to recount in detail the terrible dream that she had dreamt.
"I saw in my dream a Ram shining like a sun. He had come to Lanka to find Sita. I saw Ravan entering the abode of death. I saw Ram placing Sita on his elephant and carrying her home. I saw Ravan and all the Rakshasis clad in soiled garments and dragged away by the Lord of Death."
Relating this dream to the Rakshasis, Trijata warned them,
"Don't persecute this saintly woman. Don't seek your own destruction. Rather, fall at her feet and beg for her grace.
Even as Trijata was speaking to her companions, Sita, who had resolved to slay herself, suddenly began to see many good omens. Her left eyelids, hand, and foot throbbed auspiciously. A vague courage once again came into her heart, and all ideas of self-destruction disappeared. Hanuman, still sitting hidden above and watching all that happened in the grove, wondered what he should do next. So he reflected, "I have done something which no one else could do. I have crossed the sea and discovered Sita. I have seen the city of the Rakshasas and noted its defenses. All that a spy can do without revealing himself to the enemy, I have done. But the situation here is fraught with danger. If I go back now to report what I have seen to Ram and my king, who knows what, meanwhile, might happen here. Before Ram, Lakshman, and the Vanar host arrive here, Sita, unable to bear her suffering, might put an end to her life. Then all my labors would be lost. So, it is not enough to have just seen Sita. I must talk to her, give her news of Ram, and put hope and courage into her heart that she may keep her life in spite of everything. How would Ram receive me if I return without speaking to Sita? I must find some way of speaking to her. In what form should I appear before her? In what language should I speak to her? If suddenly a monkey came and spoke to her in this Ashok Grove, Sita would surely suspect foul play and imagine that Ravan was playing some new trick on her. If I appeared suddenly before her, she might cry out in fear. In her present condition, this is most likely to happen. The Rakshasas guarding her, who have now fallen asleep, will be startled awake and discover me. They would know that I have come from their enemy in disguise, and they would bring the Rakshasas to attack me. A great battle would ensue. Of course, I would slay most of them, but the task of comforting Sita and bearing news of her to Ram, that would be jeopardized if I were to be captured and held a prisoner here. No, that would never do. Even if I escape being caught and come out successful in the struggle, I might be wounded and lose strength and be unable to cross the sea. What then would I have gained by having seen Sita? One should never do things in a hurry. One should keep in mind one's main business. King Sugriv and Ram are confidently awaiting my return. Even a little fault on my part now may lead to a great disaster. The first thing to do is to speak with Sita and put joy and hope in her heart. I must approach her in such a way that she can never for a moment entertain a doubt about my good faith. Well, I shall recite in a sweet, low tone, and for her hearing only, the story and virtues of Ram. Her heart would then be filled with joy and trust, displacing suspicion. Only thus can I proceed.